A Cafe Soul asks, you know, what role do both parents play in how their children deal with their emotions? And so I know we've had a number of conversations this week with kids about growing through the flesh, right? Yeah. Growing through the mind and the heart in their battle. So do you mm-hmm. want to try to take it on a little bit?
So knowing a little bit, scratching the surface of male psychology as I have, I know that the tendency, actually, what I've recently read is that you guys are extremely sensitive and fragile.
We just don't want you to know.
You're not given a place to be that and to own that side of yourself. And so oftentimes it gets suppressed. So you see a lot of angst in teenage boys when they are going through hormonal change, because there is such an influx of emotion, either anger or frustration or sensitivity. They're uncertain of who they are and where they fall in society. And so so that can come out as just that angry teenage boy, kind of. It can come out as an angry teenage girl too. But boys aren't encouraged to express their emotion. So knowing that, if I notice a crestfallen attitude on my son, going to him and saying, you know, is there something that's bothering you? I watched a man in our congregation. I was so thankful for this. He's an older man. And he approached a younger gentleman in this way. He said, "Hey, brother, you seem a little stressed. Is everything okay?" And it was really, it was just the tact with which he addressed him. The younger gentleman didn't feel accused or as if he were put under the spotlight, like, "Hey, you've been a real nasty man today. What's going on?" You know, it was like, I am concerned for you, and I'm going to give you a platform to unload a little bit of this emotion behind, you know, mm-hmm. you're grouching at everybody today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a beautiful way for him to open that door and allow this younger gentleman to spill his guts, which he then proceeded to do. It was like, "Oh man, I've had this trouble at work. I have this trouble that I'm running into with a relationship in my life," and you know, the list kind of just kept going. So it was helpful, but it wasn't shaming. And so as more emotional beings, women, we can offer that to our men, to our boys, as we notice that they're struggling with things. Just give them the opportunity to know that they have a safe place to talk about what's bothering them. And we are going to be tuned into it just a little bit more than maybe our husbands will, who, they're not checking on each other or even others emotionally, generally speaking.
The question again was about kids too. So like both parents are definitely going to be more tuned in to what the kid's feeling than the kid is. Like kids are not particularly self-aware creatures. Right? They just kind of everything's going out. And so to approach the child and give them the space and then the verbal tools to express what's going on inside in the safety that they won't be told, "Stop it. Right? Don't do that." Even if it's something that's bad, to be like, "Okay, this is the flesh. This is what we fight against." Right?
Right. And when we had toddlers, even very tiny, I don't know who suggested this, but babies really enjoy looking at other baby faces. And so there will be books where it'll have a happy baby face and a sad baby face, crying baby face, angry, you know. And then so you go through that with your maybe 6-month-old to 1-year-old. And then as the 1-year-old starts to become more independent, helping them when they're throwing fits to recognize, "Oh, I see you are angry. It's okay to be angry." Or, "Oh, grandma and grandpa are leaving. It's sad. I understand that you are sad. allowing them to label these emotions.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we had a little girl, one of our little girls said, "Me so excited," like when she was maybe three. And so that just is kind of the result of training a child to recognize emotion. So you can do that for both. But then we recently, you mentioned like that we're kind of dealing with this in our family. We recognized how important it is for a father to provide stability in a home, because if the father's presence is taken away in some way, or if his trust or respect is diminished in the eyes of his children or the household, it impacts the rest of the relationships that those people have. For example, if a daughter has recognized that she doesn't trust her, or maybe she doesn't even recognize it, but if she doesn't trust her father, suddenly every other man that she meets becomes a threat. Mm-hmm. And there will be fear of all sorts of abuse, mm-hmm. essentially. And then you notice that as well when they're not just children anymore, but they're also getting into the older adult.
Just fear phase. Of abuse, danger, just fear of danger in general, right? Because the thing that's there to be the image of God, the mm-hmm. protector, has ceased to be something you can entirely trust to be stable and a protector. I don't want to go on because I want you to get your point in. So.
Yeah, well, so you see this when a young girl will go off. If she's unhappy at home, mm-hmm. go off, find a boyfriend, mm-hmm. suddenly move in with the boyfriend, and then is doing all sorts of married things with the boyfriend that she's not married to. I mean, it's just that cry for, and then if that relationship ceases to exist, crumbles, then she'll go off and do it again to another boy, with another boy. So it's this, I need headship, I need a leader, and I'm floundering trying to find one in anybody I can find. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's built into woman by nature that our current zeitgeist doesn't want anybody to admit. Mm-hmm. And it's not that men don't need leaders too, but in a very different way. And it's not that there aren't women who at times can be independent, but the majority of women prefer to follow someone strong who they can trust.
Well, and then on the flip side, like for men, you see this play out, like if they don't have the comfort of their mother, you see this play out in maybe mm-hmm. addictions to porn mm-hmm. or licentious living, mm-hmm. you know, going from woman to woman, trying to fill that void
that, of comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, and I mean, you porn, alcohol, drug use of any kind, mm-hmm. medication, so screen time, entertainment, escapism, all those things can be connected to that as well. Yeah. So then again, what role do parents play in how they teach their children to deal with the emotions? So we have one child I think of specifically who's in an age bracket where self-awareness is kind of what's coming of age, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, this is the junior high spectrum. Oh, yeah. And a lot of what it's been, as the whole family has noticed more emotion from this person as a result. For us, it's been, again, trying to help this person face it. Like, oh, I feel this way. Mm-hmm. I am seeing this. I am upset about that. And just that improves everything, mm-hmm. right? Even in the moment, as opposed to just letting the kind of formerly more childish way of dealing with it, which was to act out, mm-hmm. continue past an age where it really isn't time for that behavior. And it's just like she was doing that all the time before, but for whatever reason, the growth just didn't have to happen yet. She was quieter or didn't bring it up, and now it's coming out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And another thing that's important at that stage is to, when there's discontent in, so if a child comes to you and says, kind of gossips to you about another person, making sure that you encourage them to go to that person mm-hmm. and work it out
mm-hmm.
Rather than just allow them to gossip and then that's it.
Right.
You know, it's not going to help them long term to vent
right.
and not problem solve or reconcile or whatever it is that they need to do to
right.
create harmony in that relationship that right. they're discontent with.
Right. This is one of those places where having more kids kind of helps.
It really does. We were actually talking about this morning in the kitchen. You and I both came from families that only had two children. And it seems like when you have only two children, so what we talked about in the kitchen was there's a tendency for parents to compare.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to not compare one child to another just because they are going to be different. And as a parent, sometimes we wonder at it. It's just like, wow, isn't it a wonder that that child is so different from that child?
It's amazing, really.
And they yeah. both came from us.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We
right.
baked the cake with the same recipe and they came out totally different. So, but yeah, in larger families, like you don't have the ability to compare as much because everybody's so different and there's so many, at least the end result isn't, oh, so-and-so is so much better than me. It's like there are three other people that do really good things at this and I just do something different.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then, you know, it's more of a...
I feel like it's in a coming from a two-child family mm-hmm. that it was easier to just go away and stay separate and ignore each other
hmm.
than in this five-child family. Like, and maybe it's that we're not wealthy and have a huge house for everyone to go in, but like you can't go away.
Yeah.
Like there's just too much going on. And the group is too reliant upon itself as a whole to let. So if we notice, if anybody in the group notices there's two others that are having troubles, like we're, like it affects all of us. Right. And so, and if it's just, you know, father, mother working two kids at home yeah. with TV, they're just going to split and never have to face it. So being in a scenario with a larger community, a larger family, I think does make some of this more natural. It mm-hmm. just has to happen.
It does.
There are ways to escape it. There are ways to not do it. I mean, families manage to mess themselves up in lots of different patterns. But, you know, in a world which doesn't encourage childbearing, I think that coming to terms with human communication is mm-hmm. more necessary in a large family and therefore just happens more naturally.
Right.
In fact, that's the way we're built too. Nobody's really built to have two kids. There are people in history with pre-birth control who had two kids. It mm-hmm. did happen. Not the norm, unless you're just not, you know, consummating the marriage anymore, which I guess, depending on where you are, that might be what happens. But,
right. Yeah. Well, and this goes beyond just our families, too. I mean, so we were talking about the only way that the kind of community or village that seemingly is being... put together by God's hand here in Rockford mm-hmm. is going to work
yeah.
is if everybody in that community is committed to going to each other when there's a problem
right.
and saying, you know what? I know that I'm in the wrong for being sensitive about this, but I can't help but I'm annoyed by the way you tie your shoes and I just need to address that with you.
Oh, man. I hope that's not what it comes down to. No. You know, it bothers me when I look at your face. Will you please go away? And that's an inside joke from something that our kids were taught that was supposed to avoid conflict. And all the kids at the school figured out like how to do it in the worst possible way right away. But back when they were in school.
But instead of going to your neighbor and being like, oh, my goodness,
right.
Fannie Mae, she ties her shoes so crazy. It makes me want to vomit. Going to Fannie Mae.
Tell me the story of how you learned to tie your shoes.
I know, right.
I'm really curious because honestly, when someone annoys you, I'm not good at doing this, but it's true. If something about someone annoys you and it's some random tick,
mm-hmm.
having them tell you their story about it will mm-hmm. diminish the annoyance. It just straight up will be, oh, you're kind of normal or
yeah.
you're really weird, but I know why now. Right?
I mean, noticed just... you pierced your eyebrow. Can you tell me
about that?
Tell me about it. That's such a brave thing
in
to
Rockford
do.
Is tell me about the tattoo on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it hurt?
Golly. God be with us all.